Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, we are told, I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in case you haven't heard, a week from today is Palm Sunday. The portal, the doorway into Holy Week, takes us to Maundy Thursday, Jesus in the garden, or Holy Thursday, some people call it, Good Friday and the crucifixion, and then 2 weeks from today, the joyous celebration of the resurrection of Christ from the dead on Easter. You know how it goes. Every year we go through it the same way. The ending, 2 weeks from today, will be no surprise. We know that Easter is going to be one grand celebration. But you know, knowing that doesn't really make Good Friday any easier, or for that matter, our time in the garden either. So for this morning, let's for a moment or two put ourselves in Christ's shoes during that first Holy Week. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey on Palm Sunday, do you think Jesus at that time knew what was going to take place during the rest of that week that was about to follow? And when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, did he know that he was going to come back to life again on Easter after dying on the cross? Well, the Palm Sunday story in Luke's Gospel is recorded in Luke chapter 19, toward the end of that chapter. And then the chapters that follow walk us through all the events of Holy Week until we finally get to Easter in Luke 24. I want to go back this morning to right before the Palm Sunday story, toward the end of chapter 18. Luke there tells us, taking the 12, Jesus said to them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon, and after flogging they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise. And do you know what the heading of this little section is in my Bible? The heading is, Jesus foretells his death a third time. You better believe that Jesus knew what was going to be taking place all during Holy Week. This included not only knowing about his suffering and his death, but he also knew that he was going to rise victorious on Easter. And I scratch my head a minute and I say, if this is the case, why did he pray as he did in the Garden of Gethsemane on Maundy Thursday? And why did drops of blood like sweat fall from his face as he prayed there? Well, knowing the end of the story didn't take away the pain, did it? Didn't take away the strain. Okay. And now it certainly made it easier for him to press on toward the goal, the purpose of it. In fact, Hebrews says it this way. In fact, we've been saying it in our opening liturgy during this Lenten season. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. I'm sure you've heard the expression, keep your eyes on the prize. Do that like an Olympic runner, seeing nothing but the finish line up ahead. So it was for Jesus. He kept pressing on through it all, never, ever losing his focus. And you know what our Lord experienced during Holy Week? From Palm Sunday through Easter. That provides us with sort of a template of our life in Christ. Starting with the day of our baptism, and then continuing through our death, notice I said through our death, all the way to our resurrection on the last day. Our eternal salvation is assured us because, as our text reminds us, Christ Jesus has made us his own. What does that mean? Well, Jesus tells us what it means in Luke chapter 11. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he concludes that statement by asking, do you believe this? Do you believe that you will never die? That question is pretty difficult to answer, isn't it? On the one hand, Jesus says it, so it must be true. Yet, loved ones, believers, are dying around us all the time. What gives? Will we die or will we live forever? The answer, of course, is yes. Now, the problem with that answer, it places us right in the middle of a very challenging paradox. Eternal life is both ours already, and yet at the same time, not yet. Paul, recognizing the paradox for himself, writes in today's text. What were we just saying? I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This really is what pressing on is all about. One might say that our actual reality is not yet the reality of our experience. Our true reality, in light of our baptism, is that Christ Jesus has made you and me to be his own. We have been raised with him in baptism to walk in the newness of life, the newness of his resurrected life. This, my brothers and sisters, is our true reality. But our experience tells that we are still in the midst of all this turmoil, walking through our own Maundy Thursdays and Good Fridays. So we press on, like Paul, like Jesus, to make this reality our experience. How do we do this? Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to lies ahead, we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what are those things that lie behind us? Well, our failures lie behind us. The death of loved ones lie behind us. Our grief, our losses, our disappointments. We are told to forget them because they have all been nailed to the cross. What did we sing in our hymn just a moment ago? Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through his suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death. Life is mine to live, won through his selfless love. This, the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. This is why we can, with Paul, say, forgetting what lies behind and straining to what lies ahead, we press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I recently read an account of a competitive swimmer. She wrote that she had this problem that whenever someone was swimming in the lane right next to her, she would start focus on beating that person who they were side by side swimming with. But the more she focused on that as opposed to focusing on the finishing line, she would lose her rhythm in swimming, which caused her to fall behind and lose the race. She said, I only had a chance to win the race when I maintained my focus on the finish line and didn't worry about if somebody was next to me or not. You know, as God's children, we are called not to just forget what is behind, but also to ignore much of what is going on around us in our daily lives. We sing about it in the Mighty Fortress. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. The devil, the world, yes, even our own sinful flesh will do their best to distract us, to get our eyes off of that finish line. Their goal is pretty simple. They want us to lose a rhythm. They want us to panic, to live in fear, so that we lose that ability to press on. However, in your baptism, as in mine, Christ Jesus has made you and me to be his own. His victory is given to us so that it is our victory. And he thus empowers us to ignore the panic, to dismiss the fears that are so much around us. And you know, while also helping us to forget what is behind, and giving us the power to press on, to make that life of Christ our own as we press on toward the goal, the finish line. That sure and certain promise of our final resurrection and gathering together in the new creation with all God's people to live eternally. And you know what? That really already is ours, because our death is behind us, and all we have ahead is life with Jesus. Lord Jesus, keep pressing yourself into us through your word and sacrament, that we might ever press on with you. In your name. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep all of our hearts and minds pressed to Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.